Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever you're listening at around the world, we greet you. As
I don't see people, I don't see the broadcast, who's on that. But we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. I want to go ahead and pray in, do our statement of faith, and pray in. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads and let us go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us raise a hand clap of praise to the Most High Elohim. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor and praise on this evening, Yah. We magnify your name, Father. And we bow down to you and we extol you, Father, for you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. We just thank you even right now, Father, for all that you do for us, all that you provide. For you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, Father. And there is no other Elohim but you. Only you, Father, and only you will we listen to, and only you will we obey. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. To your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. We are going to be... let me go get a scripture. Let's go to Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 5. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. May the Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So let me share my screen. And let me find the site first, okay? And I'm going to share my screen. And let me know when you can bring that up.
Yes, I have your screen.
All right, amen. All right, now, let me go back on this site to show you what I'm doing. All right, they have on this site, okay, so I just wanted to go back here and start and go through the centuries. So we'll have the oldest information that they have and what they're using, and we'll just come forward through the time of Messiah. Okay, so 3,500 B.C., 3,500 years before Messiah came on the earth. This is the picture of that was taken off of the Egyptian walls, whether it was the pyramids or one of the temples. As I said, the Egyptians documented everything very well. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at this picture, you can see what we would consider to be Nubians, with reddish or black skin.
Right.
And then all the ones, if you look at everybody in this picture, who are the ones, what color do they look like, who are in being subservient?
It's the white people.
The white people here and here.
Down there, yeah.
Okay. All of the people of color are made to be larger than life. And then the servants are made to be what, smaller than life?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to understand now what this is saying here is in 3500 BC, Ta Seti developed in northern Nubia, most likely controlled much of the upper Egypt. If we went to a map, let me pull up a map. Sister Nisha Burpin again?
Yeah.
All right. Bless you. Okay. I'm going to pull up a generic map of Israel. I mean, of Egypt. I want this one. See if I can pull up another one. I just want to ask you a question. Go here. The map of Egypt from the World Atlas. On this map, and I'm going to reduce this just a little. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay. On this map, now you should be able to see the whole thing on your screen now.
Yeah.
Where is Upper Egypt at? Anybody tell me? Is it up near Cairo and Giza? Is it down near Lake Nasser? So,
is it by Cairo?
Up there by Cairo?
Oh, I think is it. Yeah, I think it's down by the lake.
Okay, and you would be correct, Sister Mary. Upper Egypt is actually in the south. Not up close to the Mediterranean. We used to doing things the way they figure stuff today. But Upper Egypt was known in the south. The Nile River flows from south to north. That's the way it flows. But the start of the Nile is down here, and this was what was known as Upper Egypt. Okay, so let's see. Showing Upper and Lower Egypt. And let's see how they're showing this. Thank you. Trying not to sneeze.
That hurt worse than if you just gone on get it out.
Well, I can suppress it pretty well. It didn't hurt. Let me see if this map will have it labeled so that you'll know that Brother Miles is not saying that. Come on, give me a map. My machine is being real slow. I think I need to restart it. I haven't restarted it in a long time. Okay, this one right here. Okay. Can you see this picture here?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to blow it up a little bit so we can see the map a little bit clearer. All right, we see this map?
Yeah. No, I see the words.
You don't see the map on the side here?
I got a close step. Okay, yeah, now I got it.
Okay. All right, Upper Egypt is where? See it down here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See where Lower Egypt is at?
Yeah.
So Lower Egypt is actually what we would consider what, in the north?
Right.
And Upper Egypt is where? In the south.
In the south.
Okay. So when we are looking at these pictures and things, it's good to know in reference to where they're talking about. So when it says that the northern Nubia most likely controlled much of what, Upper Egypt?
Upper Egypt.
Okay. The people who are in Upper Egypt, the ones who built, supposedly built the pyramids and all those things, and the pharaohs, came from Upper Egypt. They didn't come from Lower Egypt. So on the map, the people of color, you go, the lighter the people become, right? No. They become more dark. That's where more of your Hamites were. The Sudanese, if we look at this map, we have Sudan down here. Okay. This is going back toward the lower and the middle part of Africa, where most of your today, still your dark-skinned people live. Okay. And all through time, the darker-skinned people lived in here. But even in Egypt, they developed all of this area up in here. Only time to just turn light skin is when Egypt was conquered by the Greeks, by the Romans, by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were black. So that's why that picture that we're looking at over here shows you.
I got good rest.
Did you guys, can you not hear me?
I didn't even put no clothes on. I didn't either. Still in my pajamas yet. Who moving his screen? Well, I don't know.
All right, just a second here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Because I was listening to y'all talking about y'all sitting in y'all pajamas, but y'all weren't hearing me.
Oh.
I was still here. I'm glad y'all kept it clean. All right. So all these people in this picture, and let me reshare my screen. Screen again?
Yes.
Okay. All these people in this picture, as I said, these are, all the people of color are in a position of authority, and the people who are Caucasoid are in positions of servitude. And the only time that Egypt ever changed it, the complexion of its people, is when it was conquered by the Greeks and the Romans. They mixed with the people, they moved some of their own people in, and the complexion of the population kind of changed, like in America. Okay? When we look at this picture, then we see that all of the people of color, they are the ones that are in what? Authority?
Yes.
And the ones that are into are those that are Caucasoid. Okay? So this goes to show you that, and this is from 3,500, so this would now be 5,500 years ago, plus years ago. The ancient drawings show that the people of color were what, in charge?
Yeah.
And the whites were in submission. Now that changed over time, as I said, and the complexion of the people and who they project to be the modern Egyptians aren't the Egyptians of history. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And but they claim that, you know, it's their society, but it never was. And so they even try to spin the history to point to them. Go to 3000 BC. All right, saying that it didn't find that page. Go back. Go to 2600 BC, see if there's anything there. Okay, 2600 BC. Gravado Africans. I don't know anything about this, so we're just going to read it, okay? All right, now this is coming from 2600 BC. The source evidence that West East, a mixed population, lived in Tarim Basin as early as the Bronze Age. 2010 AD from the source, the Luland mummy was a Dravidian origin. Clyde Winters, Altman Don Fido Institute, 18 July 2014. Controversy surrounds the Luland mummy. Mears has attempted to portray the Tarim Basin as an ancestral home for Caucasians because of the discovery of mummies resembling Europeans in the Tarim Basin with European pigmentation and physical features. As a result, researchers have claimed that the Luland mummy was also Caucasian. This hypothesis is false. The Luland, I think it's supposed to be mummy. They got money. So we're going to read more on this. Okay. This hypothesis is false. This is where it left off before. The Luland mummy is around 1,000 years older than the Caucasian mummy. With DNA, it is related to Dravido Africans. I don't know who Dravido Africans are. We're going to look that up too, though. The Luland mummy is clearly phenotypically a black or Negro person given the pigmentation of the mummy. Dravido Africans have clearly settled Central and East Asia. The Luland mummy was probably a Dravidian feature. The Luland mummy was found in Zayahold. The DNA of the Zayado people was mtDNA C4, Y chromosome, HAL group, R1A11A, H, and K. Now, we would have to get into the study what of the DNA to know what what this actually means. Yeah. The Zayatal people, mtDNA, include many of the Pan-African halotypes. The HVR1 motif was that Zayatal MTA halotypes include S1-1623, S2-1634. Lee et al. 2010 claimed the MTA was C4, R, and M. The Y chromosomes, SMPs, were 4M89, M9, M45, so forth. The Y chromosome of the Zayatal people were HAL groups R1A, H, and K. These Y chromosome HAL groups are common to the Dravidian and Sindhi people in India. Now, let's see. The Dravidian and the Sindhi people came from Africa. The Dravidians belong to the C group people. They migrated to Iran, India after 2600 BC. The Dravidians carried African HAL groups M1 and Y chromosomes, Winters 28B. So all of this DNA standard.
True.
Okay, but let's do this.
All that's familiar to me is the white chromosomes. I don't really understand what that is, but I remember he was.
The Y chromosome comes from the male. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can
is now in the conference.
All right, all right. Amen. Who just joined? Who
just joined?
This is Grace, yeah.
All right, how you doing, Peaches?
How you doing, Peaches?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm fine, thank
I'm
you.
Fine, thank you.
All right, so let me see if I can find a picture of what they say, the Dravidian, the Dravido Africans, how they look. Well, these don't look like white people, but they got white people hair. So they look like this. They look like this, I guess. But they were definitely
they were definitely
a people of color?
People of color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not Caucasoid. Now, remember the, movie that we watched, Journey of Man?
Journey of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And how they were saying,
that
the people migrated out of Africa to Australia and into India?
Yeah.
Okay, so who he's saying that these people are. But they're trying to say, well, they want to say, claim that they were Caucasoid. But the Caucasians came after this. In evolution. So, Clyde Winters, we'd have to look this up. But I want to pull up. Off the site, they were talking about the DNA and these Hal groups, right? So let's get a little bit of education on that. Still don't have a computer. And Hal Group,
M1.
And according to this map. A lot of them are in what Egypt, the Middle East,
India,
and up into the white parts of Europe, according to this map. And Hal Group,
M1,
says that they came out of Africa. Most of them are supposed to be where? In India? On this map? Let me pull this up so we can see it, make it larger. Now, the mitochondria DNA, I believe, comes from the woman.
You got an F on.
Yeah, that's coming from.
Line.
All right, that should get rid of the echo.
Yeah.
Okay. Hal Group M is a human mitochondrial DNA. Hal Group, an enormous Hal Group spanning all the continents. The macro Hal Group M, like its sibling, the macro Hal Group N, is a descendant of Hal Group L3. Okay, so where is L3? to Oregon. So L1 and L2 represent two-thirds of the MTA lineage of sublineage are also frequent to Arabian Peninsula, but these are supposed to be African Hal groups. So these, all of these are saying that this Hal group started, what, in East Africa?
Mm-hmm.
So on this map, it would be in this region here. That didn't help. If we can make it larger. But that didn't help me. So interpolation maps for L3 Hal group in the sub-Saharan pool observed in each sample. So they're saying that this really started in sub-Saharan Africa and moved up into these regions. So the Sahara Desert is up in here. Thing getting larger. So we know the Sahara Desert is the top portion of this of Africa. But then the L3 group originated down here, sub-Saharan. We know the further south you go, the darker the what people get. Okay, so, but they migrated north and became these other people that look like dark Indians. Okay. It's like. And I think they're just using this to show that the Dravidian mummy that they're trying to say was white would not have been white because of the DNA. Still been a people of what color? Not necessarily Negro, though. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
But the Caucasoid nations were trying to say that it was a white Caucasian. That was the controversy. DNA proved that they wouldn't have been white Caucasian. Let's go back. BC. BC, Hebrews making brick in Egypt. These don't look like white people. Does that look like white people here or there?
No.
That looks like Negroid here, doesn't it? There?
Yeah.
So, and we come in different shades, but again, we're not depicted as what, jet black? Like the Hamites would be? But as, you know, a reddish skin tone, which most of us are. Okay. So these are all depictions of Israelites in Egypt. Look like a reddish brown people to me. Okay. Now these are let's see, what is this picture depicting? Whitewashed image of Israelites. This is the way they would try to show us on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not what the drawings like in Egypt show. The drawings up here on the walls have them as a reddish brown people. But this is the way they tried to depict them in the movies and everything else. So we can clearly see that this is a whitewashing.
Yeah.
But the original images show something different. And did we see white people in the other drawing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did, right?
Yeah.
So if the Hebrews were white, they would have depicted them as being white here. Okay. So they have, through whitewashing, and because they control the media, and because they control, you know, the books and everything right now, they're trying to, what, change history? Write it the way they want to write it? And portray it the way that they want to portray it?
Yeah, that's what they did.
Right. But the ancient drawings and things like that show something otherwise. So we got to know that that what they did is try to change the color, try to whitewash it, or they did whitewash it. Where we were at, these people are people of color. They have curly hair, so forth and so on. But they don't. They definitely don't look like the picture that we saw from 3500 BC, as far as the white people in that picture. So I think that if we go back here to the original picture we started with, you clearly see that they depicted white people as white people. See that, right? Did I fall out again? All right. Can I be heard again? Testing 1, 2, 3. Sister Mary, Sister Denise, can you hear me?
I'm here. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. But I was asking a question, but you guys weren't responding, so didn't think you could hear me.
Let me turn you up a little. Ask it again.
Forgot what it was now. I'm just being real. No, I was asking, we can clearly see in this picture on the screen that they depicted white people as white people.
Right.
Okay. And, but in the other picture that was depicting Hebrew slaves building, like it says in the Bible, they built these cities, certain cities. They were not depicted it like these people here, the white.
Oh. Right.
Okay.
You see it, Sharon?
Well, you know what? I was, and then I went out and came back in, so let me reshare again.
I have a lot of windows open.
I do. Can you see if you can bring up screen sharing now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I do have a lot of windows open from research that I'm doing and that kind of stuff. And then I had to, I wanted to make sure that I keep up, where is it at? This is the stuff that I have to answer for the USDA.
Okay.
In order to get approved to take, you know, food stamps and the EBT card.
Okay.
and I need to do this. I can't forget it because the young lady told me that she leaves for vacation on Tuesday.
Right.
And she said as soon as I get her this information, she will approve it on the spot and get the equipment out to me. And so I know nobody else at the farmer's market is, you know, they can't accept the EBT card because if you prepare your food, like if it's already
right.
cooked or something like that,
mm-hmm.
then they can't use
yeah.
it. But with the dried herbs, she told me that they would approve it, you know, so that we can sell those dry herbs. I just got to tell them what our process is for doing those herbs. So right here it says, please describe the process for converting microgreens to dried herbs to eliminate waste of product. I just got to tell them how we're going to do that. And then I think I have to have, like, as a supply, I have to have, like, three. Right now I'm just going to say I'm going to do one, so that I only have to have three jars in supply. And then once I get the process down pat, then we'll keep adding a different microgreen as a dried herb. Because what I will do is these bottles, from what I can see on the internet, can go for about $30 for like 4 ounces. So, and I think it will probably cost me, I'm thinking, less than $1. As far as seed goes. So, and I know I'm about 95% sure that if we do this, we will probably sell more of these than we sell actual raw green. Because people can, you know, they can, they last longer. So more people would buy it. Than those that, you know, you're still going to have people that buy raw microgreens because they like them that way. But oh. they'll also buy the dehydrated ones. People who don't want to do microgreens because they don't last as long, they will buy the dehydrated ones. So so I want to get this started as soon as possible, but I need to make sure that that I replied to her, so I was, you know, researching and make sure I'm doing the right documentation, and put it on our website, and then give her a link to it. She'll just copy it out of there, and approve it on the spot. We are, like I said, we talked for like, matter of fact, I had to run her off the phone because I was at the market and she was still wanting to talk, but I needed to unload and set up. Or else we probably would have talked for another hour. She was she's a black woman, but she's very knowledgeable. She's hip to, you know, who we are as a people, even though I don't think that she follows all of it. I think she's just now learning. But, you know, knowledgeable about nutrition, which is her job. And, she said, I'm glad. I knew she recognized the name. Yes, Ron. That's a rune, actually. She recognized that and was going to approve it. You know, if I hadn't said we were going to do dehydrate some of these, it would have been approved yesterday. But because I said we were going to also offer, dehydrated site, and I made the decision, it's not on your site, so you need to, you know, put that information up, and then I'll approve it. And so, you know, she gave me her personal information. So I will contact her and see if she can point me in the right direction for, like, who would handle farmers loans and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Because she's on the inside. And you need connections like that. All right. So close down because then I'll forget to do it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go back into this. So the 1300 BC. Igbo, the lost tribe. Igbo Jews of Nigeria divide Israel 2011 AD in Igbo land, Negro land, the land of the Jews, West Africa. You can find descendants of Gad, Manasseh, Zebulun, and other families of the Northern Kingdom. Descendants of Eri, sometimes in the Middle East, famine struck, and Jacob moved his family and about 70 others into Egypt. But before then, Joseph, which was the 11th son of Jacob, had already been sold to Egypt by his brothers, where he was made governor general under King Pharaoh. As time goes on, when Pharaoh knows that Joseph died, let's read more. So this is just a more or less straight out of the scriptures. So these are the Igbos. And these are in Nigeria. And they have been practicing Judaism for as long as they've been there. And they still practice it today. Our DNA says that we come out of these people, or mine does, says that we come out of these people and the people of Ghana.
Right.
Okay. So, let's see. As time goes on, when the Pharaoh knows Joseph died, they started suffering persecution from the hand of Egyptians. Now, and I'm going to send him a note on this and tell him that it wasn't the Egyptians, because that's not true there, even according to the scriptures.
Eri.
It's the Assyrians. But Eri, the fifth son of Gad, foresaw the danger, persecution, and wickedness coming. He decided to leave in time with his two young brothers, Ararat and Erali, with one of his half-brothers. They traveled through Ethiopia, Sudan, and down towards West Africa, through the River Nile, and landed at a place known as Aguleri, today through the Amabala River in Anambra State. See, we are not told how long their voyage took to get to their promised land. And what we were told is that Eri and his group was divinely instructed to make the confluence of Izu and Amabala Rivers their final destination. They would move into the hinterlands and make a settlement in the present-day Aguleri. Let's see what they're talking about this is. Document not found. Okay. Eri is said to be the original legendary cultural head of the Omori group of the Igbo people. Eri established a community in the middle of the Anambra River Valley at Iraaka in Aguleri, where he married two wives. The Igbo Jews of Nigeria, who called themselves Bnei Yisrael, sons of Israel, are part of the large Igbo ethnic group. Most of the Igbo Jews live in an area which straddles the River Niger near the Anambra State. And the Igbo Jews are said to have migrated from Syria, Portugal, Libya, and West Africa around 740 CE, or 740 in the Common Era, what we call AD. It is claimed that the initial immigrants were from the biblical tribes of Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali. Later, they were joined by more Jewish immigrants from Portugal and Libya in 1484 and 1667, respectively. John Ogilvy stated, many Jews also are scattered over this region. Some natives boasting themselves of Abraham's seed, inhabiting both sides of the River Niger. Some of the Igbo Jews claim that the river Sambation, beyond which the 10 lost tribes were dispersed by the Assyrians is in Africa. In a paper distributed by the Igbo Bnei Israel Association of Nigeria, three possible migration routes of Jews into Africa are proposed. Through migrations west and from the Arabian Peninsula, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Sudan. through trade and travel of North African Jews within the West African kingdoms of Mali, Songhai, and Kanem-Bornu. According to the accounts from explorers of the region, several of the rulers of the Songhai Empire were said to be of the Jewish origin. Traveling with Kel Tamasek Tarek, trade caravans from the various parts of Northeast Africa into West Africa. All right, so let's just read what he says.
As the aura of her glory that has maintained a dynasty, fourth king in Obugad. But apart from that, that they have maintained this kingship and dynasty.
Oh, you can't hear that?
Other Israelites are equally in Igbo land. We have Zebulun. We have Ephraim. We have Menashe. We have Reuben, we have Danai. They are all here. This is our glory that has maintained a dynasty. He is the Tatikot king in Obugad. Apart from that, that they have maintained this kingship and dynasty, other Israelites are equally in Igbo land. We have Zebulun. We have Ephraim. We have Menashe. We have Reuben. We have Danai. They are all here.
No.
Did you guys hear that? Could you see it?
Yeah, see it.
All right, let me download it to my computer and see if it changes. I don't want to put it there. All right, that should have downloaded. Open that up. Close that. All right, let me start this.
As the aura of her glory that has maintained.
Are you able to hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
As the aura of her glory that has maintained a dynasty, he is the 34th king in Obugad. But apart from that, that they have maintained this kingship and dynasty, other Israelites are equally in Igbo land. We have Zebulun. We have Menashe, we have Reuben, we have Danai. They are all here. Bulk, according to Mazutra, were taken to Africa. We are taken to Africa. We are taken to Africa. So in Igbo lands, you will see most of these lost.
Okay. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. So he's saying that the ones that went into Assyria eventually ended up in what, Africa? Okay. Now, let's talk about that because now, is that a problem? Now, why is that a problem?
Oh, they're black people, too.
Yep. And this is what, you know, some whites will say, well, your own people sold you into slavery.
Right.
Okay. But here is the issue that I have with this on top of that. The Most High said that all of the people that went into Assyria were cut off. They were no longer Israel. But they still tried to maintain, even though they were following or tried to keep some of the ways of the Most High.
Right.
The reason that they got cut off was what?
Because they disobeyed the Most High.
They disobeyed, and they followed after other gods. That's what got the whole northern kingdom, what, kicked out? Okay, now they end up on the west coast of Africa, and guess where Judah and Benjamin and Levi end up at, or Judah and Levi end up at?
West Africa.
West Africa. Sold us into slavery. They're still on the African continent. Do we understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they knew who we were. They had a problem with us, and they sold their own brothers and sisters into slavery because they knew that they were cut off.
And Joseph's brothers sold him.
Right. So I'm just making sure. Now, it shows that they are a people of what, color?
Yeah.
They look Negroid to me, but they are the ones that sold us. So they sold the tribe of Judah and Levi into slavery. And we got dispersed, and that's what the Most High said would happen. We would be dispersed into all the countries of the world. In the meantime, they are still on the continent of Africa. Okay? And even though they're keeping the or known to be Israelites, everybody that the Most High considered to be Israel, from the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they were the ones that escaped the kings of Assyria. All the rest people of the 10 tribes, it doesn't really matter where they ended up at. They are Hebrews. They're just not what?
Israelites.
They're not Israelites. Israel is a nation, right? Hebrew is an ethnicity. So they are Hebrews, but they are not Israelites. Even though they tried to, after, you know, it's like when, I can equate this to, it's like when the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt, and they sent spies into the land, and the spies came back with a bad report. And then the Most High, you know, the people wanted to fire Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. They were going to take over and go back to Egypt. And then when the Most High came down on them, what did they try to do? Huh?
They begged for life,
okay? Nope. They didn't beg for their life. Okay, we're missing some important stuff here, okay? What they did, and we're going to go get this in the scriptures, what they did was try to run into the promised land and take it after the Most High said he wasn't with them. To right, after they found out they had messed up. This is what these people are doing. We're trying to do right after we found out that we have what? Messed up? But the Most High already pronounced judgment on them. That's why I said people don't obey his judgment. He judged the northern kingdom. And everybody that he had the Assyrian king to take away, he told the ones that escaped, repent and come to Jerusalem and keep the Passover. But they laughed them to what?
Corn.
To scorn. Right. So those people never came back. They were cut off. And the Most High considers everybody who escaped that was still in the northern kingdom. Those few, that remnant was Israel. Taken away, they were cut off. And they were never to be considered Israel anymore. Because what I hear here is that they started to try to what? Try to do right? But the Most High, the ones that he brought into the wilderness, and Moses said, hey, why are y'all, don't go over there. Don't try to go do it now, because Most High is not what? With you. He's not with you. But they try to run over there and do right anyway. We'll go take the land now. We messed up. And then they got killed and chased. Okay, so this is what I see here as well. Okay? And so we, the tribe of Judah, and the Levites, and those people who escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria when the Romans came in, the Romans didn't care if you claimed to be an Israelite, whether you were practicing or not, whether you were worshiping false gods or not, you were a Jew. You were an Israelite. They chased them out of the northern kingdom, out of Samaria, and out of Judah. Y'all done got too quiet.
Well, I'm just rolling, eh?
Huh?
I was rolling, huh?
They were rolling. And do you think that if the Roman Empire is coming after you, that you're going to run into the Roman Empire?
No.
You're not going to run into their empire. You're going to run away from their empire. Wherever they're weakest at and whether you think you can escape, that's where you're going to go. But it surely ain't going to be into the heart of their empire. And this is what you know, the Caucasian races would have you to believe. That they escaped into Europe. Wait a minute, that was the Roman Empire. All of North Africa was the Roman Empire. But they would have had fewer forces in Africa than they had what? In Italy and in all through Europe? And even into the Assyrian Empire. So we ended up on the west coast of Africa. And the Igbo, the people in that area who are our kinfolk by the blood sold us. And then they've now apologized for it. But that is what happened. So you get some semblance of the truth, some lie. That's what Satan does. But we have to, you know, the Most High has to give us discernment, okay? These are former Israelites. And they're keeping, as much as they know how to, the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're his people. Thoughts?
I had thought about, you know what, brother, I always thought that, I didn't know that the Nazis sold us.
Yes. They were capturing us and they were selling us to the Portuguese and to the English and to the Spanish.
I know we went to Spain in Portuguese, but I thought the Portuguese people were the ones that came and got us.
They did come and get us, but we weren't being captured by them. We were being captured by our own people and being sold to them.
Oh, right. And I didn't know about the middle.
Right. Okay. Amen. So that is why, you know, if you go to those countries, why would they apologize for slavery? Why would they apologize for what their forefathers did? You can find their apologies, you know, online. They sold, you know, and as far as the world is concerned, you sold your own people, okay? But the kings that were doing it, I think we saw that video on this site. The kings that were doing it for alcohol. Doing it for alcohol. Okay, so I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. And whichever way the truth points to it, that's just what it is. Did the Portuguese and the English and the French and all of them come and get us? Yes. But they weren't the ones capturing us and selling us.
Alcohol.
For some alcohol. Because that king was an alcoholic. Yep, for some hoops. Okay. So we gotta understand that both sides were at fault there. The Portuguese and the Spanish and the English and the French and any of those other nations that bought us as slaves and wanted to make us perpetual slaves, they are in the wrong. The brethren that captured us and sold us into slavery, they are in the wrong. But still, the bottom line is, when it all comes back and is said and done, that happened to us because of the disobedience of our forefathers. Right.
I mean, it's a right
day. Amen. So these are truths that I'm finding that are hard for our people to accept. And we don't, you know, what I don't want to do is try to paint the picture a certain way because I'm pro-Israel or I'm, you know, got an agenda. And let's teach it, you know. Let's teach it factually and not have an agenda, because the bottom line is the end result is the same. We are still cast out. We're still scattered around the earth. And whether it was our brothers that sold us into slavery, captured us and sold us to a people who took us to a land as the eagle flies far away, it was all within the plan of the Most High. Is all his doing.
That's the bottom line.
Right. It's all his doing. We just seeing who the actors are, who he used, and those people that he, the northern tribe that he had taken away into Assyria, they're saying, hey, we ended up in Africa on the west coast. We are the Nigerian and the Igbo and the Guyanese people. We went down there and mixed with them too, and they ended up selling us. Okay, but the Most High Messiah had already, prophesied about this? And so we're just looking at how it happened and who the players were. And as Sister Mary said, she didn't realize that it was our own people that sold us. You know, and a lot of people were painted that it was who, the Portuguese? It was the Europeans? They bought us. That's for sure. They bought us, and they took us, and they abused us. But it was our own people who had gotten to that area long before we had. And they sold it.
Then that's something else. Yeah.
Right.
Because like I said, I always thought that they came, they stuff, it wasn't nobody else. They came and got us. They kept us.
No, they made bargains with the lost sheep, the ones that were cut off,
right,
to capture us and then to sell us. So know that there's no innocent party in this. Our own people did this to us, or what would have been our own people. But they were cut off, and then it appears that after they were cut off and left out of Assyria, that they tried to turn around and somewhat do right, still claim to be what, Israel? But they couldn't really make that claim because the Most High said they were cut off. You're no longer my people. And really, he told us we shouldn't be saying it either.
Right. Shame his name.
Right. We shame his name. We are in a land that's not our own. So, you know, I will teach you guys this, but I don't walk around and profess this to the world. I don't go out and have conversation with white people about this. Not because of any fear. It's because he commanded that we don't do it. But the only way you can repent for your sin, if you're an Israelite or a Hebrew, is to know who you are. Can't repent if you don't know who you are. So for years, when I was in the Christian church and I didn't know who we were, I always thought it was them people. It wasn't us. It was them.
Yeah.
But then I learned that, nope, it wasn't them. It was who? Us. That changed my whole perspective. So had to start doing, you know, what I was pointing at them for. Wait a minute. That's us. And, you know, I can't do for anybody else, but I can only control myself. So I have to do what I know to be right and act accordingly. And I don't tell everybody they got to do what I do. But I don't want to end up in the lake.
No.
And most of all, I really just want to serve the Father the way he wants to be served.
Amen.
So, you know, if I'm too late, if I did too much stuff, I know to do better. I really do try to do better.
I do too, bro.
And that's the bottom line. And if the Most High says it wasn't good enough, he's the Most High.
Most High working out.
Right.
Yeah.
Where do you want me to go? Want me to go get in the lake? That's where I'm headed. I ain't going to even, you know, try to argue or justify or anything. You know, this ain't fair. Like, right. Bring him back here. Cut him in half. See how fair that is. Throw him in the lake. Right. Because remember, you got eternity. They cut you in half. You still ain't going to die.
Right.
So, yeah. I think some people think that I'm rough. That's okay. They can think that I'm rough. I just know he don't play. And I don't want to be playing, you know, in any type of way, be playing with him. Or disrespecting him. Yeah, he is rough. And people want to, you know, they want to say it's two different gods in the Bible. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. No, he says same one. And I changed not. I made a provision that you could, that you know, that you could get, come back. But if you don't accept it and come the correct way, the end result's going to still be the same.
Right.
My judgment is still going to stand, and you going into the lake. So we want to make sure that we stay in line with him. And no matter, if I'm in error, I would rather err on his side. Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's stop here for today. I got so many other things to do. It's going to be a long night. I still got to go and clean trays and plant and write. And I need to eat. We will pick this up on next week.
Good.
Okay, and
I did too.
Amen. You know, and I'll write this brother and tell him that, you know, part of his narrative is correct, and here are the scriptures for it. It wasn't the Egyptians. They called themselves Egyptians, but they were really Assyrians. You know, so, you know, I'll see if he'll make a correction. If not, we know what the truth is. That's why I say we read stuff, but we always verify.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't take anything for face value. So, you know, even a lot of the other stuff that we've already read, it should come up someplace else. It shouldn't just be just one person saying it. But anyway, Sister Denise, will you pray us out?
For this acknowledgement. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Brother Miles, Mary, and whoever's on the line. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we won't meet again until Tuesday for newcomers class. I'm going to see if I can do this write-up real quick and get it out so I can get it out the way. And
just your plate.
Huh? Yeah, one thing off my plate.
Yeah. Right.
And that's for sure. Then throw on the dehydrator. I did some before, and I might have over-dehydrated them. I did it for like 4 hours, but I think I only need to do it from what I'm reading on some other site. Probably only need to do it for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
To do it, you know, to dry them out. I ordered my food processor doesn't actually pulverize. You know, it'll chop, but it doesn't actually pulverize. So to turn them into a powder, I had to order a more powerful food processor.
Oh, okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I still need to grow for the market, and I need to grow, you know, for the orders that we have. But I also need to grow for to create the stock for the dehydrated greens.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't just be those that we don't sell, but I will also dedicate enough so that I'm gonna start with broccoli for that one, and so that I can say, you know, create at least 3 bottles, 4 bottles, because for the EBT card, for those people who are on food stamps and things like that, one of the requirements that they have is that you have to maintain a stock of 3 products. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're saying you're selling let's say this powder, and I have to have at least 3 in stock at all times. So I will, you know, do the 3 bottles. Got to figure out how many greens I need to grow for that. And then, you know, grow them, dehydrate them. I bought the bottles today, and I need to, you know, I'm looking for how we're going to design the labels. that go on the bottle. Of course, I know it's going to be our logo on it, but I want to, you know, I think eventually what I want to do this way is just a complete wellness mix, but I need to see how it tastes dehydrated altogether, because if it's nasty, people ain't going to eat it.
Right.
You know, if it don't taste good. So I will see if that's even possible, but I have to first do it and try it myself. I know that the cabbage and the broccoli and that kind of stuff by itself, that's what you're going to get that taste.
Right.
If it's just broccoli, it's going to taste like broccoli. But when we mix it, then that might be a whole nother story.
Right.
Blending them, in the blender, but I noticed that dehydrated, like the fenugreek, takes on a whole different taste. Mm. It tastes better to me in a way if it's really dried out. But if it's not completely dried out, then it's got kind of a real bitter taste to it. And the fenugreek, I have a lot of those seeds, and I have a lot of broccoli seeds. Cabbage is expensive. I order more cabbage seeds, but I have to charge twice as much for anything that we do with cabbage because the seeds cost twice as much.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes people aren't willing to pay more unless they're hip and they know. But I think that dehydrating them and selling them that way, more people will buy.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just going to make sure that the cost is enough to where it makes it worth doing it. So, like I said, the ones that I found online, and I'm not going to add any salt because, you know, if people want to add salt to their food, then they should, you know, have that option.
It's itself, right.
So it's just going to be the microgreen itself. And then if they want to add salt to it, then they can add their own salt. But I'm not going to add it in. It's just going to be straight microgreen powder.
Right.
So I will, you know, I will let you guys know. And then you could even sell in your area if it's the powder form.
Mm-hmm.
We can order, you know, we can open up the site to sell in larger areas, but then we can just ship it there.
Right, right.
Rather, right now I'm confined to the valley here. But if we dehydrate and bottle it, then it'll last in the mail.
Right.
And we can ship it, you know, anywhere and everywhere. Then you could also sell in your own area, wherever you're at. But the goal will be, you know, that we'll make it here, and when people start moving to the farm, then that would just be one of the products that we sell.
Right.
That we make and sell. We grow, make, and sell. We control the whole process.
Right.
But in my mind and in my heart, I think I'm seeing this as being bigger than the raw green. Selling more because it'll open it up to more people.
Right.
Even people who don't normally do microgreens, they will buy it because it's not going to go bad quick.
Right.
So that's where we're at. So I'm going to get off of here and do this write-up for this lady so I can just get it done and out the way. And then I'll probably be finished with that probably about 8:15, 8:30. And then I harvested just about everything this last cycle. And so I got a bunch of trays that I need to clean and take, you know, get the roots out and get them ready and really start planting. I want to do, you know, plant a new, I got a crop in there that is growing, so I have something for next week. And so I need to actually go water them because they may have fallen down. I didn't look at them this morning. It's Sabbath. So I'll go out there and first thing is look at them and water them and make sure they don't fall down. And then come in here and do the writing. It's just busy, busy, busy. So May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. But all remember to do is to fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Yeah.
Shalom, saints. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
All right. And we'll meet again on next Saturday night, and we'll continue in this theme song. Family, see you guys on Tuesday. Peace and blessings.